thankful to be here. I hope that we can all say amen, that I'm glad to be a part. I'm satisfied. Satisfied with what the Lord's done and what He's given, and content with it. Thankful to be here. Again, need your prayers. It would be foolish of me at best to think that I could stand before you in any ability of my own and say anything that could be of lasting benefit to your eternal souls. But I would pray by the anointing of the Holy Spirit that He would breathe the breath of life into His Word.
Yes.
None of us have made heaven yet. I know that's an obvious statement. You know, if we're not careful, we can become complacent. Become complacent in the place that I'm at today. Because I am contented. I am happy. I'm thankful for what the Lord's given and what He's done. But I'm not there yet. Neither are any of us. And I would tonight that we'd be stirred to the very depth of our souls by the Word of God to realize, as Jesus said, that it's he that endureth until the end that shall be saved.
Yes.
It doesn't matter the intensity of my intention or my desire in starting out. That's important. But it must go far beyond that. That's throughout the days and the years, the trials and the tribulations, whatever I go through in life, it must endure. He that endureth unto the end, until I draw my final breath, having been faithful through every day, every test, small and great, that each one that I go through and say, by God's grace, I was faithful.
Yes,
that I can stand in that final day and say, by God's grace, I was faithful.
Yes.
Amen. I'd like to consider a familiar passage of Scripture in 2 Timothy. Second Timothy in the 3rd chapter, beginning with the first verse, 2 Timothy 3. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. This I take as a solemn prophecy, as a solemn warning to each one of us, that in the last days, before I'm able to draw my final breath, I'm going to face some perilous times.
Yeah.
Face some places that are hazarding my soul, some places where the enemy is intent, whatever way that he can, to destroy me, my home, my marriage and family, most of all, my soul, before I can hear the Lord say, well done. In the last days, perilous times shall come. Perilous. Hard to do or to take. Difficult. There's going to have to be some intense desire on our part. Scripture says that the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent shall take it by force.
Yeah.
It's not going to be something that I can take casually or cavalier, just by hope or good intentions, but by everyday fighting for my soul. This word perilous comes from the Greek word kaleo, as I understand it, which is relating the idea of reducing strength, or wearying, wearing down the determination, the strength. In the last days, perilous times shall come. There's a scripture in Revelation that said that the dragon, the enemy, came in great fierceness of wrath, knowing that he had but a short time. You know, I believe that this is part of the perilous times that we're going to face before the end days. The enemy, knowing that his time is short, cometh with great wrath. You know, I believe that we can look around and see, not only in the world, but in our lives, in the battles that we face, realize that surely this is true and is coming to pass.
Yeah.
Perilous times shall come.
Yeah.
Goes on to talk about those that will be lovers of their own selves, etc. like to consider this evening by the help of the Lord our love for God. This word perilous also refers to the word kaleo, to loosen or to slacken, to relax, to let down from a higher place to a lower. The word perilous, do you know that's what the enemy is intent in trying to do to each one of us?
Yes.
To cause us through the relentless pressure and pressing upon us from every hand and from the very forces of hell. To cause us to relax, to loosen, to slacken pace just a little bit and let down from a higher place, the standard of God's way of holiness, to something that's a little bit lesser.
Yes.
Perilous times shall come. Denote something that's dangerous to my soul. That there is a risk in this time that I will face of losing my soul. But by the grace of God and our carefulness. Scripture speaks in Hebrews of shaking times. That those things which may not be shaken may remain. Yes. You know, it's not the Lord's intention for any of us that we be shaken off. But it is His desire that as the shaking times come, it causes us to cling more and more unto Him. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. You know, I believe the very root of many of the problems that we're seeing today is a diminishing love for God, diminishing desire to serve and live for Him. Lovers of their own selves, turning unto a selfishness and desire, pursuit of my own ways and desires. The Scripture says in Matthew, the 24th chapter, 12th verse, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. The love of many will grow cold. May it, perhaps, and often is, by degrees, over time, throughout the course of time, by this slackening of pace, this relaxing by the perilous times that are around us, God give us a sense of urgency of the day and age in which we live, that we not allow our love to grow cold.
Absolutely.
I believe that there are things that we can struggle with in our lives that are symptoms. And I believe the Lord wants us to target the very root of the problem. The very root of the things that I find myself perhaps day in and day out, struggling with, falling in over and over. You know, I can target some of those areas of my life, but until I realize that's a symptom.
Yes.
It's a symptom of something deeper. The love of God in my heart. The intensity of my love for Him. Scripture says that the love of many will wax cold in this time. You know, the love, the natural love that God has given. Think about a mother. The love that a mother has for a child. And I read about stories in the paper and whatnot of a mother that took her child and drowned in the bathtub. Think, how could it be? A love that's so pure and God-given unto a mother, a love that's a bond that shouldn't be able to be broken. And you look at something like that. You know, it ought to be a natural love for us. Whenever I consider, the song says, number 264 in our book, I ought to love my Savior. Says, O Christ, I can but love Thee. What heart could e'er withhold a love that costs so dearly the offering of Thy soul? O King of love immortal, reign in my heart alone and flood this earthen temple with glory from Thy throne. Whenever I consider the love of God, the love that He had that in due time while we were yet sinners, when I was yet so undeserving, He died for the ungodly.
Yes.
He died for me, that I might have eternal life. Do you know that ought to cause something to well up within every one of us? A love and a feeling of owing my life and devotion unto Him.
Amen.
You know, that should be a natural outpouring and welling up within our hearts. O Christ, I can but love Thee. What heart could e'er withhold? What barrier or wall could I ever erect that could withhold the love of God?
Yes.
Thought of another song that came to mind. Won by Dying Love, number 233. I know my sins have pierced thy heart, O Jesus crucified, and now thy love is breaking mine. I bow to him who died. You know, I believe through the most calloused heart, the love of God can penetrate. Just the thought of the love of God. You know, it can go places that we can't go. It can speak messages that we can't speak. The love of God. You know, that's really the only thing that won us. Really the only thing that brought this salvation unto us. Oh Christ, I can but love thee. The natural outpouring of my heart in devotion unto him. Lord, how could I e'er withhold an offering that costs so dearly? The offering of thy soul. How dark my prison house of sin, entombed in misery. But Jesus' love is shining in, sweet rays of hope to me. I hear thy voice in tender love so sweetly calling me. Thy dying love has won my heart. I yield, O Lord, to thee. What else can I do when I look and consider? You know, words don't suffice. It must come down to the revelation of my heart. Of the love of God that he had for me.
Yes.
It's going to have to be more than an image that's created by some man that is posing to be Christ and dying on a cross to be crucified for the world to see. It must be a revelation of my heart that Christ, you died for me. You died that I might be able to have eternal life. Whenever I have that revelation unto my heart and truly realize the depth of that love, what heart could e'er withhold?
Amen.
Won by dying love. That's a love that should be abiding. But yet Jesus said that the love of many shall wax cold.
Yes.
How could it be that the love of one who died, the love that whenever I came and came to that realization, the love that I felt welling up within my heart, and think, how could that ever be diminished? How could I ever come to a place that I find I've lost that love and the intensity of it? But yet I believe that it's a danger that each one of us face. That love of a mother that's shattered, where she can take and abuse and hurt her child. You know, the scripture says that those that turn away and backslide, they crucify the Son of God afresh unto themselves. Lord, help us tonight to guard our love. The scripture says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Whenever I look at this scripture, perilous times that shall come, and all these that follow without natural affection, the love of God is gone. It's been misplaced, and it's been replaced and filled with something else the world has to offer. But oh, the love of God. That should be the focus of everyone of our existence.
Yeah.
Should be the very backbone, the very motivating factor and force behind what we do.
Amen.
Behind why we're here. Behind the life that I live for the Lord. Says the love of Christ constraineth me. It's not out of fear. It's not out of anything but the love for Christ.
Yeah.
And that's the depth to which I should have it. The depth to which, as I've received the revelation and the vision to my soul of the love of Christ, and that love is burning so brightly within my soul for Him. Oh Christ, I can but love Thee. You know, that's the place that we need to be. And any time that we're focusing anywhere but that, Scripture speaks of cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. My people have committed two evils. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living water. And they hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. You know, without the love of God burning within our hearts, anything else is going to be just trying to patch the leaking cistern. Not going to the very root and core of the problem, but addressing the symptoms and not the root. I believe the Lord would have us to guard our love, to guard our heart and our affections, lest any one of us should find ourselves in this place. The scripture says that the enemy would deceive, if it were possible, the very elect. Would cause each one of us to lose the intensity and the clarity of the vision I have of his love and his desire for my life. Lord's desire for us is to guard that, to protect it, to keep that. The scripture says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he gave his life for us. And that's the way that we even know and understand what love is. We love him because he first loved us. Because he first came and shed his blood, what else can I do but give myself fully and wholly unto him?
Amen.
Song that says we must be holy. I can't think of the number. But it says something to the effect, what heart could e'er withhold a part? I believe. Whenever I look at the price that he paid, what heart could e'er draw back from that? Yeah. Say, Lord, I'll come short of anything but giving my full devotion unto you. I'd like to look at Psalms, the 11th chapter, the 3rd verse. Very short scripture says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? You know, the enemy would like to target the very foundation of our faith. Would like to target the very foundation. The scripture we mentioned that says, guard thy heart, keep thy heart with all diligence, because out of it are the issues of life. That's where the enemy would like to target.
Yes.
That's the place that he'd like to be able to destroy. To be able to cause other things to come into our lives that cause the love of God to be diminished, that cause me to begin to slip into a state of lukewarmness. If he can begin to destroy that foundation, the very foundation of what I'm doing, the reason for which I'm doing it, I'll be, as the scripture we began with went on down to say, those that have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. Oh, it'll be so shallow and empty, just an empty form if it's not motivated by the love of Christ within my heart. I'd like to consider a few symptoms. If any of us were to go to a specialist or a doctor, if that was to whom we were going to turn for the healing of our bodies, that began by asking the questions, where does it hurt? How long has it been hurting? Asking for details. Because they're looking for symptoms to be able to pinpoint what the true nature of the problem is. I believe that if we find ourselves in a place where the love of God has begun to wax cold, it's began to cool off, the fervency, the intensity of it, I believe that there will be symptoms that come in our lives.
Oh, yeah.
There will be those things that will be evidence of something deeper. It's not the source of the problem itself, but it's evidence of the fact that within there's some problem.
Yes.
I'd like to consider a few symptoms the Lord brought to my mind. Priorities. You know, that's something that as soon as we start losing the love of God, as soon as we start becoming careless, it will be evidenced by our priorities.
Yes.
You know, I'm sure every one of us will say, doesn't seem like there's enough time in the day. Really? Or is it our priorities?
Oh, Lord.
You know, it can be easy to say, I didn't have time. Didn't have time to spend with the Lord. Didn't have time to study His Word. Really didn't have time to go by and visit the neighbor. Speak a kind word unto him. Didn't have time. But you know, it's so easy to take time for the things that are important unto me.
Yes.
It's so easy to have my little hobbies and things that I enjoy doing. That's where the focus of my time and energy will be.
Oh, Lord. Help us, Lord.
I'd like us to consider, is that focus tonight the Lord? Is that focus His service? Is it drawing close to Him in full devotion of heart, saying, Lord, I want to follow in Your ways and learn of You, saying the song, I'm learning of my Savior. Is that truly our desire? The scripture where Jesus warned us to believe, the 21st chapter of Luke, towards the end of the chapter. Luke 21 and 34. Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness. And now it gets a little closer to home for me and the cares of this life. I don't consider myself of a great risk of temptation to be a drunkard. To be drunken, but you know I am at risk to be drunken by the cares of life.
Yes.
By the busyness of things that begin to crowd into my life. Amen. The warning here lined up right next to it. Just as drunkenness would dull my senses and cause me not to be alert and aware of the surroundings, oh, how the enemy would like to cause us to become so crowded in, so dull in our senses to him that I don't even realize the places that the enemy's working. My senses are dulled that I can't even see the areas where he's targeting. Folks, it's not time to slacken pace. It's not time to let up. It's not time in any way to let go.
No.
But it's time to hold fast. Perilous times are here.
Yes.
Take heed unto yourselves, lest that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore. You know, isn't that the love of Christ?
Yes.
In and of itself, of that scripture to warn us? The purpose being that ye not be caught unawares.
Yes.
Realizing, Lord, thou knowest my frame, that I'm but dust. You know how easy it is for me to get caught up in the cares and the routine of life? And you were kind enough and had enough love to give me a warning. Take heed unto yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Consider your ways, lest the cares of life and the busyness, the drunkenness and surfeiting, where's your priorities? Where's the focus of your life and your energies being devoted and pointed to? Is it in the right place?
Mm-hmm.
That's evidence. It's a symptom. The fact that the love of God may be growing cold.
Yes, amen.
In my heart. Another part of that that will follow is an increasing self-focus. An increasing self-centeredness and turning unto my own. Scripture said they shall be lovers of their own selves. Think about, we won't turn to it for the sake of time, but in the book of Haggai, the message that was given unto Haggai was to go unto the people and to warn them. They had been delivered out of bondage and captivity. And yet still, some years later, the house of God, His temple, stood in shambles. And the message that was given unto Haggai was, go unto the people and tell them, consider your ways. Why do you live in your still houses? You live in your comfort. You live so comfortably and tending to the cares and the things that mean the most to you. And yet, why is it that my house lies desolate? Why is it that the walls are crumbling? Why is it that after all this time, you've not devoted your energy, your attention unto that? Yes, you're comfortable in the houses that I've provided for you, and the things that I've given you. The Lord told the children of Israel, take heed. Whenever I bring you unto the land that and give you the houses that you didn't build, the vineyards that you didn't plant, and all those things, take heed unto yourselves. Lest you forget the Lord your God. Lest you begin to lose sight of the very source and the giver of all good. Begin to become focused upon those things and how easy it is to do. Lord, help us to keep our focus in the right place.
Yes,
our focus on the place that it really should be. Upon building the temple. The temple that starts right here. Building and making sure that my salvation is not in shambles. Making sure that it's well attended unto. And then whenever I consider the work of the Lord, how many needs are there?
Yes.
Lord, am I in the place that I'm able to fill? Though it may be a small place, Lord, give me a little place that I can fill. Whenever I look and consider the gaps in the wall, the places where the enemy's taking advantage, where there's a need, am I in the place that I can say as Isaiah, Lord, here am I, send me. Lord, I'm prepared. I'm not so focused on my own things, my own cares and possessions about me that I can't even focus on that. I don't have time. I'm so strapped by the cares and the things around me that I don't have the leftover energy even at the end of the night. I've taken care of all the things that I needed to do. Maybe I can fit in a few minutes before I fall asleep for the Lord.
Oh, Lord.
Lord, help us tonight to examine and consider our ways.
Yes.
Another evidence of a waning love for the Lord is a loss of burden for souls. Whenever I look and I consider, because, as we mentioned, my focus is becoming more inward, more on the things that interest me and how easy it is to drive by the road and see those in need and shake my head and keep on going. Keep on going. I've got appointments to do. And I know that we have cares of life. I know that we have responsibilities that we're to attend unto. But if we're not careful, the love of God begins to grow cold. If I see any of these areas we're talking about tonight and evidenced in my life, Lord, help me to examine myself to see. Lord, I don't have the love for souls. I don't have the burden to see this same thing, this same love that you shared with me passed on. Maybe my love for the Lord has been crowded out. 2 Kings, the 7th chapter, you can turn to it if you like. It's the instance where the city of Samaria was being besieged. And it had been quite some time. The famine in the city and the land was great. And it came to the point where there were a couple men that said, if we stay here, we perish. If we stay within the walls, we perish. If we go out into the host of the Syrians, we perish. We might as well go out there and, in my words, die trying. We might as well go out because surely we'll perish if we stay here. If you'll remember, the Lord had sent a noise. And the Lord had already driven the host of the Syrians away. You remember what they went out and found? Whenever the city was impoverished with poverty and famine, they went out and found a camp that was abounding in riches. Yeah. All the food that you could want and all. Can you imagine the expression on their face? Can you imagine the feeling that must have leapt up within their hearts? Here I've been so famined and impoverished, eating what little scraps and morsels off the ground that I could find. And I go out of here and here's a bountiful supply. Oh, anything that I could ever ask for, it's right here. I would enjoy that. I'd bask in it. And you know, they stopped to consider. And they said, we do not well. Because the city is still, and I'm paraphrasing this, the city is still back there in the same condition and need that I was in. And here I sit here with all the bountiful supply at my disposal.
Yeah.
Like to ask us the question, do we well?
Yes.
And it's a question that I can only answer for myself. Am I doing well? The Lord has given us a bountiful supply.
Oh,
taken
yes.
us, the song says, from rags unto riches.
Yes.
From the doors and the steps, as a pauper He took me.
Yes.
Through the adoption and made me a son.
Yes.
And put me in the halls of His banquet house with table supply. Bountiful, overflowing,
yes.
every need that I could ever have, fully supplied.
Yes.
Do I get comfortable in that? Or do I say, oh Lord, do I well? Of a world and a people that are out in the same condition that I was in, Lord, help me to do whatever place You give me to do.
Amen.
Whatever place that I can feel, to do my part to get the message. The scripture says that good news is from a far country is as cold waters to a thirsty soul.
Yes.
Folks, we have some good news.
Yes.
Just as that was good news whenever they were able to go back and say, folks, y'all come look.
Yes.
Y'all come look. You're not going to believe what you see.
Yes.
Lord, help us that that would be our desire as well. Not to be in the place that my focus is selfish and on my own cares of life. That my burden and desire would be to the work of the Lord. Another symptom of a loss of fervent love for the Lord is a loss of vision and confusion.
Yes.
Revelation, the 3rd chapter. Very familiar passage. Revelations 3. The 15th verse says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, Knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked? Folks, I was challenged by the report that I heard of Brother Tony shared of Mexico. And I've heard the same report of other nations and countries where you go and people are hungry. They're longing to be able to hear the words of the gospel, the good news that's shared. What's the difference? You know, I can be in the same place where I say that I'm rich and increased with goods. I'm comfortable. I'm settled down in my little comfort zone and my nest that I've built around me. Perhaps I've been in this way for years and I can look back and point my finger back. I was saved when I was such and such age. Let us not take comfort in that alone. May we not get to the place that I become complacent in my spiritual walk with the Lord from day to day. Each and every battle and day that I face, that it's with renewed focus, renewed vision, and zeal for the Lord. Because thou sayest that you have need of nothing, you don't realize the true condition that you're in. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Began here by talking to them and condemning them for being in a lukewarm condition. And then further down, he began to illustrate to them that you think that you don't have any needs. You're in a place that you don't realize your true condition. I counsel thee to buy of me gold in the fire and anoint thine eyes with eye salve. Folks, lukewarmness breeds confusion. Lukewarmness will begin to breed questions in my mind. As I find myself and that distance growing between me and the Lord, that relationship and one-on-one experience that He wants to have with me, I'll begin to find the questions and some doubts entering in, some confusion setting in, because that's bred, I believe, by the lukewarmness. I'd like to speak lastly of the symptoms of a faltering faith. I don't know how else to say this, but to say the doctrine of divine healing is under attack. The enemy is attacking hard, and I believe there's a reason for it. I'd like to turn to a passage in Galatians, the 5th chapter. Galatians 5 and the 6th verse. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith, which worketh by love. You know, if anyone asked me, well, how does this thing of divine healing work? It worketh by love. And I think of it more than just divine healing as a divine trust.
Yes.
There's a scripture that says that perfect love casteth out fear.
Amen.
Whenever I'm in the place of the Lord, of my love being perfected, you know it's going to begin to cast out fears. Jesus said, prophesying of the end times, that people's hearts will fail them for fear. You know that's happening? More ways than just this, but in this area, people's hearts failing them for fear. Lord, help us that the love of God would be so entrenched and so shed abroad within my heart that it would cast out the fear, the questions. You know, just as in a marriage relationship, there's to be a foundation of trust and love, and that builds a relationship of trust. That's the same way here with the Lord. Wants our love to be such that it fosters a relationship of trust in Him. In every aspect and facet of my life, a divine trust. A divine trust that says, Lord, no matter what, I realize and I have a vision of Your love for me. Realize that whatever You bring my way is for my eternal good. And Lord, what more can I do to express my love to You than say, Lord, I'm in Your hands. Lord, I give it to You. Do with me what You see best.
Yes.
Divine trust, Lord, live or die, I'm in Your hands. I believe that's the level of love the Lord wants us to have. Scripture here says, faith which worketh by love.
Yes.
Folks, it's not just by gritting our teeth. It's not just by a determination of, it's what I've always heard. But it's to go so much deeper than that. It's to go to the place that the One that I love has allowed me to enter into this place. You know, I can count it all glory. I can count it light Whenever I compare it with the glory that shall be revealed in me, folks, that's a vision that surpasses any earthly vision that I could have. It's a spiritual vision. A vision that's fostered and clarified the closer I draw to the Lord. The more that I build and develop and foster that love, the more that I strive to learn of Him, I believe that we'll find in casting out the fears and doubts, the questions. I think of the scripture that says, if in the land you run with the footmen, they've wearied you, how will you contend with the horses? And if in the land of peace wherein you trusted, how, what shall you do in the swelling of the Jordan? You know, it's not for us to wait until we're down into a serious bed of afflictions to say, Lord, I need to get a hold of this thing. Lord, I need to understand this thing. But it's for us in the land of peace. Whenever we're running with the footmen, to be able to develop and have the love of Christ so real within my heart and my life, that relationship of trust built up in Him, that whenever I am contending with the horsemen, whenever the swelling of the Jordan come and the beast rise up out of the Jordan area, and I'm contending with something greater than that. Now whenever I'm told, you've got cancer, you've got a few months to live possibly, the signs of it don't look good, you know the enemy is right there to try to bring the doubts and questions. And I want to be able to have it if the Lord should allow me to go that way. To already have the relationship and the trust established in Him, what shall you do in the swelling of the Jordan? If you've not already developed and been in the place that you have it working within your life. It's easy for us to say that I love the Lord. That's going to be tested. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Yes. If you love me, well, I'd like to turn to 1 John, the 3rd chapter. I'd like to read most of this chapter, but won't for the sake of time. I'd like to look at the 18th verse. My little children, let us not love in word nor in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Hereby, I believe another scripture says, hereby is our love perfected in obedience unto Christ. As I begin to follow Him, it's going to mean something. Whenever He says, take up the cross and follow me, for me to say, Lord, whatever that means, I'll do it. Whenever He takes me to the places that He brings me and brings me up to the river, say, Lord, by Your grace, I'll cross it.
Yeah.
To be able in full obedience to follow Him. I believe that's His desire for us. Scripture in Song of Solomon, the 8th chapter, says love, speaking of love, it says it has a most vehement flame. Love, and speaking of love and jealousy, which if you understand them really go hand in hand, the jealousy is speaking with, it's strong as death, and it hath a flame, a most vehement flame. That's what our love for the Lord is. The relationship between the church, you and I, and Christ is to be a most vehement flame. That's what it's talking about. When Jesus says the love of many will wax cold, the flame will begin to cool. For so many. Yeah. With iniquity abounding and pressing in on every hand, the love of many is going to begin to wax cold.
Yeah.
If you'll bear with me for a few more moments, I'd like to consider the candlestick in the temple. It was ordained and ordered of the Lord and said that you're to set up the candlestick that it give light unto the house under the tabernacle. The priest was to be there by day and by night to order, to attend unto it, that it never go out. You know, we've been, by the adoption of sons, we've been made kings and priests in this royal priesthood, and it's our responsibility to order the candlestick. The candlestick of my life and my heart, to make sure that by day and by night, by tempest and by tribulation, the flame is never extinguished.
Yes.
Remember the 10 virgins? 5 of them wise, 5 of them foolish. Came down to the place that there was one thing differentiating them. 5 of them were told, I know you not. The 5 of them were told, enter in. 5 of them, the oil had been extinguished. You know, throughout the course of our lives, the oil is going to be used up. The burning of the flame in this cold and dark world. The purpose and the Lord's plan is that it be replenished on a daily basis.
Amen.
Zechariah, I believe, the 4th chapter, there was a vision that he had of a candlestick. I believe it's symbolic of the church, collectively and individually, as you and I. The candlestick was standing there, and he had a vision of an olive tree on each side. The olive tree emptied out of themselves into the bowl and into the candlestick. And he said that those olive trees were his two witnesses who stood by the side of the whole earth, the Word and the Spirit. You know, that's to be what replenishes and supplies my salvation, being connected to the true source that the flame never be extinguished. Folks, it's a daily maintenance. I don't know how many people I've talked to, and sure you could say the same, that were struggling in their experience with the Lord, perhaps backslidden, to say, you know, I never could really get a hold of that spending time with the Lord. And almost every one of them to say, I don't understand why I'm in this place. Began visiting with them, and well, no, I've not been very careful with my prayer life. Not been very diligent in my reading and prayer. Folks, that's our lifeline. And in order to be able to keep the love of God burning brightly, to keep the candlestick burning for the purpose of giving light unto the church, unto this dark and sin-cursed world, I'm going to have to be supplied with something more than myself. Supplied and more than just a one-time occurrence. As the 10 virgins, the foolish ones there, ran out, didn't resupply it. Lord, help me each and every day for this to mean enough that I not allow my focus to become dim or moved away from it, my priorities to become such that I don't have time. I have time for everything else, and then I'm so tired at night, and I'll spend maybe a few minutes. No time for the work of the Lord, no time for the development of my soul. Folks, there are consequences. If we follow that kind of carelessness, and it will take a toll upon us. In closing, I'd like to look at the 12th chapter of Luke. I'd like to leave us with this challenge. Luke 12 and the 35th verse. Says, let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning. And ye yourselves like unto men the way for the Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Lord, help us to have our loins girded about with diligence and carefulness, diligently keeping and guarding the affections of my heart, and the flame burning brightly. Ever kindled and rekindled, though the outward man perish, the inward man's renewed day by day. Renewed by something more than of myself. And oh, how it must be. Replenished and renewed by the inspiration of God Himself. And the witness and manifestation of His love to me. I'd like to ask us to consider this evening, how is our relationship, our love for the Lord? Have you experienced some symptoms that indicate to you I've been a little lax? You know what? Maybe I'm one of those that Jesus warned about. The love of many shall wax cold. There will be indications of it. Lord, help us by His mercy. If He be so merciful to show unto me that I've been lax. And you've allowed the flame to begin to flicker. It's almost to go out. You know the Lord's a merciful God. Going back to the love that He showed for us from the beginning. Not willing that any should perish. And may we not trample over His mercy. Whenever He shows me that I've been careless, may I be diligent to rekindle the flame. We're facing, I believe, the Scripture said, perilous times. Lord, help us to be prepared. The best safeguard, I believe, filled with the Holy Spirit, the love of God burning within me as a most vehement flame. Whatever comes my way, I'd be able to have that guiding me, directing me. Keep that. Keep thy heart with all diligence. The Lord said, consider thy ways. I would this evening that we would all do that. Desire your prayers.
Yes.